Welcome to the Dreamcatcher Podcast, a place where you'll receive a boost of inspiration, practical advice, and tools to maximize your success and personal happiness. And that's not all. You'll also get plenty of guidance on how you can use your gifts, talents, and compassion to contribute towards making the world a better place. Be sure to sign up for our free weekly newsletter for a preview of what's in store and to also receive a free ebook. To sign up, simply visit www.thedreamcatch.com. Now it's my pleasure to introduce you to the host of the Dreamcatcher podcast, Celine Chinoy.
Hi everyone, and welcome to a Dreamcatcher interview podcast special. I believe that all of us are endowed with creative potential. But unfortunately, there are things that tend to get in the way of us expressing our creativity, such as our busy schedules and a lack of self-confidence. But the truth is that creativity is vital to our well-being. And according to my guest today, it actually has the power to heal us. Jeff Lizowitz is an award-winning producer and musician, a critically acclaimed author and filmmaker. He's released 5 studio albums and has landed thousands of music placements for clients such as HBO, MTV, Discovery, Microsoft, NBC, and many others. Jeff is also a life coach and an NLP practitioner with a mission to inspire artists of all kinds to amp up their creativity, heal their hearts, and shine in the world. Visit Jeff's website, Jeff Lizowitz, that is JeffLizowitz.com, to receive 3 free chapters of his new book on creativity. Join me for this fun conversation where we dive into various facets of the creative process and the steps that we can take to unleash our creative prowess. Hi, Jeff. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm so glad that we have the opportunity to chat today about some of my favorite topics, which are creativity and the art of storytelling. It seems like you're an expert on these topics, so I can't wait to hear your thoughts on it and your ideas on how we can amp up our creativity.
Absolutely.
Great. So let's get started. So besides being a creativity coach and an author of a book with an awesome title, Not Effing Around, The No Bullshit Guide for Getting Your Creative Dreams Off the Ground, you're also an award-winning musician, screenwriter, and producer. Could you please share with us a little bit more about your story?
Sure thing. Well, I have always been creative type. You know, when I was a little kid, I was sort of like that weird, friendless kid, sort of out there making up stories, running around, you know, all this and that. When I was in summer camp, maybe as a 8-year-old or something like that, this one summer back in the 70s, after dinner, we would have free time to sort of run around and do whatever we wanted. And there was an empty cabin. So this counselor brought his drum kit and a big 70s stereo to this thing. And every night after dinner, he'd play the drums to these records. And I would sit there sort of under this tree, you know, maybe 40 feet away and listen to this. And I was like, wow, this is cool. And one day he invited me in there to listen to him play. And this music just blew me away. That's when I really got it. Oh, I was probably 8 years old, maybe 8 or 9 years old, something like that. So that was fantastic. That was sort of one of my first big experiences with music. I got into photography about the same time. My grandfather bought me a little plastic camera for like a birthday gift or something. And it was a real camera. It was like a kid's version of a camera.
Yeah, I remember.
It had real film. Yeah. And I shot a bunch of pictures, my mom cooking dinner, you know, the dog running around down the street, whatever. And he had a dark room in his basement. So he took me in there and showed me how to develop film and make prints. And if you've ever done this, you know, it's like this magical world. You kind of, like, out of nowhere, these pictures pop up on the paper. So that's when I turned on to photography, and I've been into photography, you know, forever, and video and film and stuff like that. And also as a writer, I was always just writing little stories and poems and things like that. I eventually got, you know, in college, got a degree. My parents were not thrilled with this one, but I went to a college where you can make your own degree, right?
Okay.
My degree was called Creative Writing with Perspectives from Philosophy, Religion, and Psychology.
Wow,
when I announced that one, my
never heard of that one before.
Yeah. As far as I know, I'm the only one on planet Earth with that degree. So.
Okay.
But again, the folks were not really all that pleased, you know, to hear that.
Why don't you go become a doctor or something, or an engineer?
Exactly. You know, my family is pretty solid with the jobs and stuff like that. So this, you know, I'm just a weird, you know, sort of freeform guy in the family, I guess. So anyway, just through that, all kinds of music and film. And I mean, I've just been doing this stuff forever. And on top of that, I've also, you know, do the life coaching. I've trained in something called NLP, had a practice with that. NLP is neuro-linguistic repatterning. So that's like techniques and counseling to help people untangle their subconscious blocks to live better lives. So I kind of put all this stuff together, wrote the book. Now I'm doing the coaching. Now I'm doing, you know, these workshops online and here in Seattle and around. So yeah, I just love it. I love being creative, and I love empowering people to be creative, because I think it's a really key part of our humanity.
Yeah, I mean, that was going to be my next question. In your book, you mentioned that creativity is a way for people to be seen, expressed, and healed. Could you please elaborate on the statement with some examples?
Absolutely. So to be seen, expressed, and healed. So the first part, to be seen. Out there in the world, as people in the world, I think it's really easy to kind of get lost in the shuffle. I mean, on the road, on the street, things like that, it's anonymous online. I mean, it's just endless with this stuff. So that's kind of the first level. The second level is, you know, our basic friends, our peers, our coworkers, they may see us to some extent for who we are, but, you know, sort of not really. I think a lot of people are almost afraid to show themselves or to be vulnerable. And even at the closest level, with our parents and children, with our best friends, with our lovers and spouses and all that kind of stuff, hopefully we can be seen. But in a lot of cases, I think we're still not, you know, in some important ways. So that's the being seen part of this. To be expressed, in my view, means just actually doing something. Okay, so a dancer, let's say, who has all the moves, like totally knows what's up, but is sitting in the corner of the dance floor, right, while the music is playing, in that moment is not expressed. Mm-hmm. So you got to get off the, you know, you get out of the corner and onto the dance floor, then you're expressed. Okay. So when you are seen and you are expressed, then you can be healed through your creativity, right? Because mm-hmm. you're putting out, you're becoming vulnerable, you're letting your innermost self be seen. That healing can be anything from, you know, a catharsis. I think we all know as creatives, we put out our pain, our suffering, whatever. And in some ways, it just makes us feel better. We just let that go. But it's really almost more than that. When we, even in something like a love song, okay, you say, well, how is a love song healing? Well, in your basic love song, what you're really healing is all the loneliness and all the pain that came before that love happened. Okay? So when you're seen, expressed, and healed, you have a gift to give to the world, and that's your creativity. You put that out into the world, and one person sees it, a million people sees it. Maybe even nobody sees it. But here's where it gets great. Here's where it really comes around. Mm-hmm. When you are seen, expressed, and healed, and give that gift to the world, you become the gift. Okay? Mm-hmm. Because you show others that it's possible for them to be seen, expressed, and healed. And that sort of like has a circle of awesome that empowers everyone to live a richer, truer, more creative life. That's kind of where that's at.
Yeah, I love that you say that, because as someone who's considers herself a creative, you know, when I started writing The Dreamcatcher back in 2014, I was a little bit uncomfortable about talking about that side of me, and because I felt like people would not understand. But the more I started doing it, the more I felt like I was getting a sense of who I really was, and I found the confidence to talk about it with my friends. And, you know, some people thought it was weird, but some people, you know, thought that was really cool. And I actually motivated some people to blog about their own interests. So, you know, I think I understand the healing part, but I also feel like you're able to understand more about who you are in a way that you would not be able to through other means, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
I totally agree. That being seen part,
yeah,
it's from others, but it's the biggest thing is yourself.
Exactly. I mean,
to know yourself,
yeah,
is the biggest part of the whole trip on earth, really.
And it empowers you. It empowers you. Be like, wow, I can do this. Like, you know, I didn't know I was capable of doing this, you know?
Yeah, hell yeah, you're capable.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah.
So you talk about being inspired by music when you were telling us a bit about your story. And, you know, I think music and storytelling, they have the power to touch our hearts in a way nothing else can. Why do you think that this is the case?
Stories are a way to communicate ideas in such a way that the listener or the experiencer, the reader, whatever it is, watcher of the movie, does not have to risk their own safety, let's say, to experience what the story experiences. Okay, so let me like flash way back to the caveman. Okay.
Okay.
So back a zillion years ago, you've got the cavemen. These guys are hanging out in the cave and they're trying to communicate. They're trying to tell a story of how are we going to kill this giant animal to eat it so we can feed our village, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they're drawing on the walls. Here's how we put this thing together. You guys scare the thing, run it into the trap, and then we'll get them. Okay? So these young men who have never done this before, who've just come of age, are sitting there in the cave watching this story that the elders are telling. Okay? They're not out there on the field where this thing could, you know, this bull or whatever can gorge you and kill you, eat you, whatever. They're sitting there in the cave. So they can learn the story, how this thing is going to work, before they go out there. So that's an extreme sort of situation. But when we look at stories that are powerful today, or really anytime, these are stories that can teach us something about what it means to be a fully actualized human, I guess you would say. Okay, so let's just say a romantic comedy. Okay, hey, it's just something to see on a Saturday night, you know, watch on a Saturday night. But there's something in there, in your typical romantic comedy, that says, oh, does the girl choose, you know, the rich guy who treats her badly, or the sweetheart who, you know, whatever, writes poetry in the corner,
mm-hmm.
right? So we know that going for the love is the smart move. We don't always, you know, maybe do it, but we can watch from the story and say like, oh, here's a way to make choices in our romantic experiences that are going to benefit us without having to go through the pain and heartbreak of doing it ourselves. Of course, we're probably going to do it ourselves anyway.
Yeah.
But that's the point. Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like with storytelling, you can also really, you're able to relate to the characters and the themes sometimes. You know, you see yourself in, like, for example, in that romantic comedy, you could see yourself in that woman who has to make that critical choice between two lovers. So I think, I don't know, I just feel like storytelling has this, gives this very visceral experience that nothing else can. I don't know. It's, you know, we've been reading stories since we were kids. And, you know, that's what sells, like all these epic movies nowadays, like Harry Potter and, I don't know, all the Marvel stories. I mean, it's, even though it's like, it's based on fiction, people love it, you know, because they love the themes, they love the archetypes, they love everything that goes into making it so magical, you know? So, it's always fascinated me how it appeals to people on such a strong and emotional level.
It's true, because we all have different lives. Everybody's life is completely unique, right? And at the core of every human experience are really similar themes. We all want love. We all want freedom.
Mm-hmm.
We all want redemption. We all want, you know, these various things that make us human. So when you create or listen to or read or watch or whatever a story, it taps into those primal themes of what it really means to be human, like, you know, good over evil. You know, that's sort
exactly.
of what all the comic books are about, or comic book movies or whatever. Right? It's really basic. It's really basic, but everybody gets it.
Yeah, it's universal.
Right? Here's the bad guy. Here's the hero.
Mm-hmm.
I identify with the hero, right? So I want to slay the evil in the world, because we're all trying to, hopefully, trying to slay the evil in our world in one way or another, right? It's not going to be with flying around in superhero powers, but hey, it's with that person at work. It's with our relationship. How do we make that better? It's with, you know, problems with our friends or our social justice. I mean, there's a million ways that we do this. So I think stories that really just fill that down.
It's also an escapism, right? Music, storytelling,
mm-hmm.
a way to get out of the, you know, the humdrum and the monotony of daily life. I mean, things can get, you can feel like you're getting stuck in a rut, and this can just take you to other worlds and other realms of emotions and fantasies, you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think when we see stories like that, it reminds us that the heroes of those stories, like, we can be those heroes. We don't have to have that humdrum life or that monotony. I mean, in some ways, certainly, we have to do things in our lives to make them work, but we can always take steps to move forward, right? We can always grow. The rut means we're not growing.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah,
exactly. And that's where creativity comes into the picture. Now, not everyone thinks that they are creative. You know, a lot of people have the misconception that creative talent is only present in those who are in the arts and not in more left brain kind of professionals like accountants and engineers. What would you say to those who believe that to be true?
I'd say that's bullshit.
Okay. I thought you might say that.
If you are breathing, you are creative. Like, being alive is a creative act. Can you make a choice? Yes, of course you can. You go left or you go right. Chocolate or vanilla, you know, whatever. These are creative acts. You are creating a reality. So you can always make a creative choice. You can always do something differently or interestingly. You know, when you talk about it in terms of jobs, that's a little different, right? An accountant, you know, their function in that job is to do something very specific and make very specific, you know, calculations or whatever. so the business runs properly and you pay the bills and all that, right? So creativity within systems like that, maybe not a great idea. Although if you can be creative, perhaps you can even make those systems more efficient, because no system is really perfectly efficient, right? So there's ways to think about it, but that's just within the job, right? Then there's outside in the world. How do you act in the world? How do you think in the world? Creativity, it's not, I mean, part of it obviously is what you create. It's what you make, the painting, the story, the dance, the pie, you know, the apple pie that you bake, whatever. But so much of creativity is just the way you think, right? And what that means is, do you have new ideas? Do you put new ideas together and process them in such a way that you experience the world in a creative way? So for instance, you know, as a photographer, I sort of go in and out of really being into photography. When I am into photography, I literally look at the world looking for visual beauty. Okay? And then when I find it, I take a shot on the phone or, you know, with the camera or whatever. That's just looking at the world. The beauty is always there, right? You just have to look for it. So anybody can do that, right? Accountant who looks for beauty while walking down the street, I think so. It's possible. Not even possible. You just do it.
Right. So what you're saying is that we all have this innate capability to be creative, and it doesn't have to be through traditional, what we traditionally consider to be creative endeavors, like painting and singing and all of that, or dancing. It could be anything. Sure. Where we're building kind of building neural connections, you know, where we're linking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's as much perception of the world as it is, you know, physical creation in the world. Looking at the world like creatively.
Yeah.
Makes sense. Yeah.
Okay. And one more question. What advice do you have for someone who wants to express their creative potential, but who can't find the time and energy to do it? Especially those who have really demanding day jobs and other commitments, you know, like family commitments and things like that. How can they make time to really, you know, express that side of them?
Absolutely. Well, you're right. I mean, that's like one of the big deals in modern society and culture. Everybody's busy all the time. It's crazy what we do to ourselves and how this world just sort of puts on us like that. So how do you make the time and have the energy to do this? Well, this comes down to what I would consider really understanding for ourselves what is urgent in our lives and what is important, right? And these are different words and different concepts. Urgent is, you know, things I feel like I have to do immediately. I have to clean up, you know, the kitchen, you know, immediately, right? And important might be, wow, you know, it's important to call my mom once in a while, right? That kind of thing. So if you look at creativity, creativity is, for many people, most people probably, not urgent. You don't have to do it, right? But that doesn't mean it's not important. If it is in your heart, it is important, right? So the urgency tends to trump important. So what that means is you just have to reprioritize. So I knew this woman who had three little kids, a full-time job, and a dog. Okay. And she was a novelist. She wanted to write novels. And before the kids and the family, she was, she was writing plenty. She wrote a book or two, something like that. Once these kids came around, man, she just had a tough time getting any words in, you know, maybe for 20 minutes at night after the kids were in bed, she was dead tired. She'd write. Or maybe, you know, one weekend a month, she'd have an hour or two to herself, something like that. But it wasn't going anywhere, right? So one day she just got so sick of this. She said, I need to do my writing and I'm going to prioritize it. I'm going to make it urgent. I'm going to move it. You know, it is important and I'm keeping it important and I'm making it urgent. So what she did was she woke up an hour before these kids 5 days a week. She had her coffee and she wrote for half an hour, 45 minutes, whatever, a day, 5 days a week. She did it first instead of last. Year and a half later, novel published. Done. So what I'm getting at is there is always some time. You just have to prioritize it. Maybe you have to skip the video games. Maybe you have to skip the happy hour. Maybe you have to, you know, stuff like this. It's really, I mean, sometimes that's important. And I talk about that in my book. That is FA, right? Fucking around. Not, right? We need that. That's rest and that's refueling. But if it gets too much, it takes away from what is important. Right? So it's really just a reprioritization of what we want. And then you stick to it and you do it. And then something happens and you feel way better at the end of the day, at the end of the week, month, year, whatever.
Yeah. I totally agree with you. You know, I make it non-negotiable when it comes to my writing, because I also have a day job that I do. But when it comes to writing for the blog, like you said, I prioritize it. I make sure that, you know, I do it first thing in the morning, and I get it out of the way because it's important to me. And I you know, for me, it's something special. And I guess you just have to understand why it's important to you and its significance in your life, whatever it is that you're doing. I think once you get that, I feel like it'll be much easier to find the motivation to actually make the time and have the drive to do it, you know, as on a regular basis. So
exactly. And one of the things you said in there is so super key. And that is the why.
The why. Yeah.
Why we do things. That's the intention. And I teach this in my workshops and all over the place. If you don't know why you're doing something, it's not going to be powered up, right? With real love and energy. If you're doing it for the wrong reasons, if you're doing it for the money or for the likes on Facebook or something like that, or because your friend thinks you're cool, you know, that's not going to work either.
You get a lot of that these days, unfortunately.
Yeah, exactly. However, if you know the why and the why is true to you, that will align your heart and your mind and your action. And when you got those three things in alignment, you are laser. You just move forward and it comes back to you in ways that are beautiful and empowering and healing. So I totally agree with that. The why is huge.
Exactly. Okay, so with that, we're going to bring this wonderful conversation to a close. Jeff, thank you for making the time to speak with us today.
Thank you. It was great talking to you and to everybody.
Before you go, could you please let my audience know how they can find out more about you and what you offer?
Sure thing. If you can spell my last name, you can find me on the magic internet. It is Jeff, J-E-F-F, last name Leisowitz, L-E-I-S like Sam, A-W-I-T-Z.com, JeffLeisowitz.com. You can also get my book on Amazon. But yeah, come on over to the site, check out the blogs, all that business. Thank you for coming over.
All right, great. Thank you, Jeff. You have a great day.
Okay, you too. Thanks, Celine.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for tuning in. If you enjoyed what you just heard, please subscribe to my podcast and feel free to share it with your friends and family. Take care and speak soon.